This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. It is good to have you with us. And I have a question for you. Have you ever had a mentor in your life? I can think of several. My folks, you know, probably is are your earliest mentors. Teachers I had, news directors when I was just a young punk in this business. So there's always somebody along the way that gives you advice, helps you along, tips, gives you encouragement and all the rest of that. That, I guess, in a nutshell, is what the Mentoring Alliance is all about. And Nick Zavala is with us. He is, and again, you're going to have to tell me, the director of?
Director of Mentor Connect.
Mentor Connect.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. What is the Mentoring Alliance? I've been sitting here blabbing about mentoring. What do you guys do?
Yeah, so the Mentoring Alliance exists to mobilize godly people into the lives of kids and families to provide tangible help and eternal hope. And we do that through three different programs. The first program is after school. So we do after school in a ton of schools out here. All of Tyler ISD, Brownsboro, Chapel Hill, White House, Lindale even. So after school programs, kind of like Boys and Girls Club. We have summer camp programs for kids as well, and I'm here for our Mentor Connect program, and that one is specifically getting adults in our community that love the Lord and have something to give, mentors like you mentioned, and are willing to volunteer twice a month to meet with a mentee in our local schools during school hours. And just be present for them.
And we should say this is a religiously based organization,
sir.
Obviously.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, your core statement is about the scriptures and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's a really key thing. And actually, it helps with the safety of our program, too. So we ask that our mentors they attend a local church, not because we keep track of church attendance, but because...
Good. I'm glad.
But because we... like to use pastors or small group leaders as references. So we reach out, you know, if someone wants to become a mentor, they go through this whole interview process and a reference stage is part of it. So being able to reach out to a local pastor or their small group leader and say, hey, tell us a little bit about Joe, who's interested in being a mentor. It's a great point of reference for
us. Well, and that's good to know because, frankly, in this day and age, there are so many stories of people who misuse their positions.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, safety is key.
You pretty thoroughly vet everybody.
Yeah, we do. We have a saying that, I mean, interview process, background check, references, we have a saying that if it's not 100% a yes to be a mentor, then it's a no. So even if we 99% love them, but a little thing we're not sure of, we don't let them become a mentor. So we're very choosy.
Okay. Your area, the area you cover that here in East Texas anyway, pretty extensive. How many people, how many mentors do you have?
Yeah, so as of today, we have 50 mentors. We just started a new program through Mentor Connect where we're in the schools. So we just started a schools partnership with 9 different schools, 7 of which are Tyler ISD schools. 6 of those are elementary schools, Hubbard Middle School, right down the street. And then Wise Elementary in Chapel Hill and EJ Moss in Lindale. And this is kind of our pilot year, kind of just testing it out, see how it works, let the school see what we do.
See, up till now, it's been after school, right?
It's been
summer camp.
After school, summer camp, or the Mentor Connect program looked like just kind of self-directed. So when a mentor met with a mentee, they kind of, they would go to their sporting events, their birthday parties, and go to Cane's and get lunch. It was really all on them. There wasn't a whole ton of supervision. This brings
grab a burger after a Little League game.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
That kind of thing. So this brings us more oversight, more supervision, and inside the safety of the schools, it actually builds trust with parents as well.
Did you, was there much convincing involved with Tyler ISD, the other ISDs?
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that, actually. So I just recently moved into the director position. So I was a mentor coach meeting with the school's proposing this program to them. And my boss at the time, Deontay Garrett, he told us to stop talking to schools because they all kept saying yes. And we just didn't have the capacity for all the schools. And so
not the usual problem. Yeah.
No, it's filling a need for sure that's in our community. Yeah.
So so the schools thought this was a good idea.
Yeah.
They were happy with your vetting and the quality of the people involved.
Yeah.
Tell me how it works. Do the parents usually come to you? Do teachers come to you? Where do you get like a reference for a child that may need a little help along the way?
Yeah, definitely. We utilize the school counselors. Okay. This week is actually school counselor appreciation week, so we're going to the schools dropping off gifts for them. But there's usually at elementary schools one, maybe two school counselors, and mm-hmm. there's just a lot of kids, and they're going through a lot of things, and they can't personally help each and every single one of them. So they provide us a list, names, and numbers for parents that have heard about the program, and mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, cool, share our information. Mm-hmm. And we reach out to them. So that is really key because it really gets us to the kids that, man, really could use a mentor. I personally believe, no matter how old you are, everyone needs a mentor in their
sure,
life.
Sure.
And I think everyone should be mentoring someone as well. Mm-hmm. I think we all have something to give. But that's where we get our kids is from the schools directly, which I think is a great source.
And you know what, Nick? It's a really good feeling. I have been a news director in the past, and I have heard from young reporters mm-hmm. that I hired, maybe fresh out of school, and they've gone on to nice, you know, big market, Miami, Washington, et cetera, and said, hey, just wanted you to know, I learned a lot, yada, yada.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
is that what you hear from your mentor?
Yeah, it's good. And also, to be honest, it can be hard, too.
Sure.
You know, I think because being able to put yourself in the position or situation of a child, you know, that might have a different background, different upbringing, mm-hmm. and just trying to put yourself in their shoes is really hard. And usually the technique is, let me try to relate, right? Let me relate and build a relationship through common ground.
Mm-hmm.
But really what kids are looking for, and actually what I believe everyone is mm-hmm. looking for, isn't necessarily someone to relate to them, but someone that's just real and authentic. Someone who's just going to show up, right? You know, for those reporters you talked about, you simply probably just showed up for them and were just available, right? And that makes a huge difference in a person's
life. The mayor won't talk to you. Here's the way you get around that. You give them tips and so forth.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good feeling. The mentors, they grow just as much as I think the kids do.
And really?
I have a mentee myself, and his world is totally different from mine. And just being able to be there, there's nothing special about me. I'm just another person on a planet with billions of other people, right? But just the willingness to see him at least twice a month and hang out with him and meet his mom and just get to know him and his family. It's been really awesome. And I think people surprise themselves of what they can mm-hmm. actually offer to another human being.
Obviously protecting anonymity and so forth.
Yeah.
But I gather it's a young man you're, mm-hmm. you're mentoring. Mm-hmm. How'd you find out about him? What were his needs? What were the problems?
Yeah, so the school recommended him, and mm-hmm. My staff of mentor coaches, they were the ones that. So I stayed away from picking my own mentee, let them do it, and just to keep it, you know, above board and everything.
Sure.
And he's an only child, and mm-hmm. he's had a tough upbringing. His biological father was not the best father, to say it that way.
A little turmoil in the house.
A little turmoil. Saw things, felt things, went mm-hmm. through things that, no elementary school age boy should go through, and things that I've never experienced. So mm-hmm. I really can't relate to him on those mm-hmm. levels. But like I said, he wasn't necessarily looking for someone to relate to him. He's looking for someone to just be in his corner and just support him, be present, be consistent with him. And it's been awesome. And actually, recently, Christmas was recent, and he was one of the students selected for Blue Santa, which is a program that our local law enforcement does. Awesome program. And he actually walked away with a bike.
Police collect gifts and give them out. Yeah,
he walked away with a bike that night, and it was just so cool, and just a smile on his face, because at the end of the day, he's still a kid, And so it was cool. I got to just be there and be present and see him, see the joy on his face. So, presence again, it's just so big and so key. Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I interviewed a lady who heads up the East Texas Crisis Center.
Okay. Yeah.
And she pointed out something that if somebody doesn't help these young people, mm-hmm. Either boys or girls who are in a terrible family situation,
mm-hmm.
She said that the statistics show the girl may well see her lot in life as being a doormat mm-hmm. and the boy an abuser. Yeah. I mean, it's imprinted early on.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, what you experience, you either have to really make a strong decision of like that thing that I grew up with in my life as a kid hurt me so bad that I'm going to choose to not do that. Or it, like you said, becomes imprinted and just becomes something, you know, I kind of call it the sins of the father, right? Sometimes
sure,
those things
exactly.
pass down. And but yeah, no, you're totally right. And having a mentor, having someone in your life that is a bit further down the road and kind of has wisdom to give, life experience to share, that can make all the difference.
Well, and I've talked about it on this show before. I'm a man of a certain age. My generation had pressures. Well, every kid has pressures.
Yeah.
They were so different than what kids are facing today.
Yeah.
I was explaining to my wife about how back then there was no social media. Mm-hmm. So people just wrote notes about, he's a jerk, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That was about as bad as it got.
Yeah.
And there was always a school bully and kids that got bullied and so forth. But now, It is so intensified.
Yeah.
As a parent, I've seen it in my daughter, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, social media, I mean, the phone is crazy. It is a supercomputer in our pockets, and kids are getting it younger and younger. And even if a child doesn't get one, like my mentee doesn't have one, but he's got friends that have one. So they've got access to whatever they want to type in. And so
for better or worse.
Yeah, exactly. And so it can be a tool for good, obviously. But, that's definitely, like you said, that's one thing that has totally changed, you know, dynamic of childhood these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your a young man, but you had different pressures than I had, and certainly than these young people have.
Yeah.
So where do you start? Mm-hmm. Somebody says, "Okay, got a boy here who has problems," or a young girl, and whether it's bullying or self-esteem issues or problems at home, or academic for that matter, or spiritual, where do you start?
Yeah. So kind of
somebody told you about this kid.
Yeah.
And you walk in. Hi.
Yeah.
I'm Nick. Where do we go from here?
What I tell the mentors and what I had to tell myself meeting my mentee is just got to meet them where they're at. Meet them where they're not a project, you know. If kids feel like your goal is to turn them into the next president or the next valedictorian, you're setting the bar really high, and the pressure can crumble a child. And so, so meeting them where they're at, in the current state they are, accepting them for who they are, and then also just, you know, as you are present and consistent, you get to learn more and more about. I've learned so much about my mentee just showing up, not with an agenda, not with a game plan, a Bible study or a lesson plan or anything like that. It's just like, hey, how's your day going? And those conversations start, you know, shallow at first, but before you dig deep, you got to start with the surface, right?
Sure.
And as that time goes on, you get to really learn more and more about your mentee. And that's when the life experience, the words of wisdom, even you might be saying the same things their teachers or their parents are saying, but because of that dedicated time you spent with them, those words land harder than maybe just a professional instructor or someone who's supposed to be saying those
things. I was about to say that sometimes what a kid thinks, you have to say that. Yeah. You're my mom. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
You're my teacher. I know.
Yeah, but when a volunteer mentor steps into their life, gives their time, and one thing kids will ask, a question they'll ask is, you know, are you getting paid to do this?
Uh-huh.
And they're not asking because like, oh, this would be a cool job that I would want in the future.
Yeah.
They're asking to see your...
Do you really want
to
be here?
Exactly, your intentions, right? And that alone, I mean, it just does so much. And that's a skill that anyone can do. Showing up to something on a consistent basis, you don't have to be anything special to do that, right?
Yeah, well, I would not have even thought of that as a question, but I bet that occurs to some kids, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Are you like a low-paid shrink, I mean, here to help me out, you know, figure out my problems?
And that's the other thing, too. When we talk to the counselors, you know, we say any child is welcome to be part of the program. They don't have to be low in grades. In fact, I told one counselor that there's a student who might be feeling a lot of pressure because they're a high performer.
Right.
And maybe they're not fiscally hurting at home, and maybe both parents are in the house, but you just know that there's a lot of pressure. They can be part of the program too, because I mean, everyone's hard and everyone's difficulties mm-hmm. is maybe difficult to them, but might not be difficult to someone else, but they're still going through something as well.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's just something that is really key that we share with our counselors is, you know, this isn't a program just, you know, for bad kids. And really, there isn't a bad kid. What it comes down to is why they act and behave in certain ways. There's always a reason mm-hmm. why. And when a mentor, if a mentor can step into their life, hear them out, listen to them, love them, be there for them, a mentor can really understand, you know, why, oh man, that's why you react and behave that way. It's because wow. you went through this in your life. And that's where compassion comes in.
I wouldn't have thought about the high pressure part, a high performing kid.
Oh, yeah.
I'm from Houston, and I have an old and good friend who's a retired Astro, okay. Norm Miller.
All right.
And Norm and I were sitting and talking over a drink one night.
Yeah.
And he coaches some young baseball players.
Yeah.
And he said, we have lost so much talent that really had potential for the majors because
yeah.
the parents were too intense about it.
Oh, yeah.
So much pressure. By the time they finished high school, they were so sick of baseball.
Yeah.
And that can apply to academics or anything else.
Exactly.
You know, how'd you get a B here? Well, you know, in English. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and a child's identity is not wrapped up in just who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrapped up into what they can do for others or what they can do for their families.
And you know. Parental expectations.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's a mentor doesn't bring in any expectations. A mentor is just there to listen. Hey, what do you got going on? You know, and we tell the mentors a lot, you know, you don't have to immediately give advice. Wait for them to ask you a question. You're
okay.
the one. You keep asking questions.
Hang back. Yeah.
Hang back. You interview them and ask them about them and then ask them questions about their answers. For example, like here's a skill that we kind of teach our mentors is, hey, Jimmy, how's your day today?
Mm-hmm.
It was good. Oh, why was it good? Oh, man, I had fun at recess. Well, what'd you do at recess? You're showing interest in them, and that shows your authenticity.
Follow the conversation down the path.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of like, oh, when I was a kid, I played on the monkey. You can do that's fine.
Yeah.
But you then just brought the conversation back to yourself.
Right.
When you keep the conversation on the mm-hmm. mentee, they feel heard, they feel loved. I mean, that's a skill that anyone can do. And eventually, when you keep asking those questions, uh-huh. they'll open up to the real deep stuff like, man, I'm struggling with this, or my parents are like this, or the pressure situation. And then you can keep asking questions. They'll eventually be like, hey, why are you so interested in that? Or what do you have mm-hmm. to say about that? And that's when the mentoring kicks in, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, and it gives them ownership of their feelings and their responses and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good response. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Does that bug you? You know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, when you mentored, you talked about mentoring people. Like,
yeah.
What was your strategy? How did you mentor people?
Yeah. Well, I'd look at their work and we'd sit down, we'd talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, what made you make that choice? Well, mm-hmm. here's something to think about.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Asking questions is a huge game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
How did you get into this?
Yeah. So for the past, well, not for the past, but for 10 years of my life, I was a youth pastor from 19 to 29. So most of my young, most dangerous years of my life, people trusted me to be a youth pastor, which, you know, that's a crazy decision.
What were they thinking?
Yeah, exactly. Started with my home church and did that. And one of the things that I actually really loved about that was having volunteer small group leaders
mm-hmm.
and encouraging them to see their kids, their small group outside the church walls.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a kind of compartmentalized society, right?
Oh, yeah.
And for strong relationships to happen, mm-hmm. we can't compartmentalize, man. They blend super well. So if you see your small group leader at your football game, you're now associating your small group leader with football and church. You know, it helps deepens the relationship.
He's a human being.
Yeah.
He's not Father Mike. Yeah,
exactly.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's like if you see, you know, if you're in high school or junior high and you see your mm-hmm. teacher at the grocery store, and you're like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
What, they eat Cheerios just like me, you know? Your relationship deepened a little bit, even if you didn't interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
But so I've always loved that aspect. And us as humans, we're relational mm-hmm. creatures. You know, even the most introverted of people still need someone in their life that's thinking about them and caring about them. And so how I kind of got involved in the Mentoring Alliance, I finished my time working in the church.
Uh-huh.
And I applied a couple times. I knew they worked, you know, after school and summer camp with elementary school kids, and kids are great. But if I'm being totally honest, I'm not super great at working with like kids, like children's ministry, that kind of stuff. I'm a tall guy. Kids tend to want to jump on me and tackle me all the time. But
and he is a tall guy, by the way.
But Deontay, my previous boss, reached out to me and saw my, you know, youth ministry history and had me put a resume in and apply and for the mentor coach role. And even in the interview, I did it. And even in the interview, I was interviewing like I was working with just kids. And he stopped me. He's like, no, you're working with adults. You're working with mentors. So you're going to be equipping them, meeting with them, empowering them to be mentors in a single kid's life. And I was like, oh, I lit up. And I'm like, oh, man, that's my passion. I love that. You know, I love sports. I mean, I've had coaches that mentored me. And and I just I love and understand the power of having someone in your life. And so that got me all fired up. And so I got pumped to be there. So I was a mentor coach for just over 2 years. And then this past November, I got promoted to the director of the Mentor Connect program. Okay. And it's I mean, it's a blessing. Don't tell my boss I do it for free. But I truly love it, and I'm passionate about it, for
sure.
I
promise I won't tell
it. Yeah, perfect.
So what kind of person are you looking for to be a mentor?
Yeah.
I mean, because and we really haven't talked about the programs, and we should, because you're in schools. Mm-hmm. There's also a summer camp.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it involves learning. It involves worship. It also involves a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you're looking for people who can, I guess, handle all of that, wrangle all of that.
Exactly. Well, the mentors themselves are volunteers, and their commitment is 9 months, just a school year, so September to May. And they meet with their mentee twice a month. And one of those times is a fixed school in-school meeting. So, for example, one of our schools is the third Thursday of every month. All the mentors assigned to a mentee at that school meet together, eat some Chick-fil-A provided by us. I mean, if you bring food, they will come. I've learned that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in Texas. And
free fries? Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
It's done. And they meet with their mentees for an hour session from 12 to 1. And a really cool thing, too, also, is the schools, they see the value of this. Not every child has their lunch from 12 to 1. Okay. But they're willing to pull a kid out of class once a month, just once a month, to meet with their mentor, which, I mean, they see the value of that, which encourages me. And then another time is a self-directed meeting, going to a football game and everything like that. And that's it. That's the commitment. As a minimum of 18 meetings for the school year.
I'm guessing that has to be a little subtle, too, because if a kid is pulled out of class, what's going on? You got a problem? You know, who are you seeing? You seeing a doctor? What?
Yeah, you know, rumors spread around school. They're like, you've got a mentor. That sounds really cool. I want a mentor. And, you know, and so it kind of does itself growing within the schools as the kids get excited about it. But, the kind of mentor we're looking for is very simple. You got to be an adult, 18 years or older. You got to love the Lord and love Jesus and attend a local church.
As you said, pass all of the vetting. Yeah.
Pass all the vetting and everything. That's what gets you started. And so, that's it. It's a 9-month commitment, minimum of 18 meetings, and then you go through the process. But yeah.
Are there people who find, wow, this is way more than I thought, you know, that maybe they're not as suited for this as they thought?
Yeah, I would say, you know, sometimes when someone comes in, they'll get really excited. They'll fast forward to the end result of the happy story, I did truly change this child's life. Look at
them
now.
Watching him graduate.
And those stories happen. However, it's a lot of tough things in the middle. And one of the things that I really try to communicate to the incoming mentors is that, like any relationship, there's going to be speed bumps. There's going to be difficulties. Just because you're having a hard time doesn't mean you're failing. It usually means when you get past that hard time, man, that's when you strike gold, right?
Yeah.
So we encourage our mentors in that. But this year, being in the schools, a more consistent, more fixed structure than the previous program, we've had a lot less of that. Because seeing the kids in the school in a controlled environment has been really helpful. And usually when there's any difficulties, it's a mentor reaching out to me and saying, hey, you know, he told me a story about his dad, you know, the abuse or whatever it is. And
what do I do with this?
Yeah. And that hits hard. And my advice to them is,
do we call the cops? What do we do?
We're some mandated reporters for sure. 100%.
Right.
But also my advice is just keep listening. Just keep listening. Don't let that change your view of that child. You keep listening, keep loving that child as you would yourself.
And sometimes the problems can be not necessarily physical, but psychological,
mental, for sure.
A kid has low self-esteem because nobody ever said, you're a good kid.
No.
Much less anything beyond that.
No, definitely. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons, and the main reason. I mean, we obviously, the Gospels is the foundation of Mentoring Alliance and what we do. But the reason why that's so important is because Christians, our belief system is that everyone is made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And so they have inherent value. And so when we tell our mentors that this child, no matter what issues they may be bouncing off the wall, they may be totally disrespectful or inappropriate or whatever it is, they're still made in the image of God. So when you go into that mindset, that really helps you see the child and not get, I can't stand this anymore. This kid's terrible, crazy for no reason, but it helps ground our mentors when they begin their mentor relationship.
Toughest case you've seen. We've only got a few minutes left, but toughest case you run into where the mentor said, wow, where do I go with this kid?
Yeah, definitely. We've had a mentee in our program. He's adopted, lives with grandma. Mm-hmm. And he, in one of the very first sessions with his mentor, had a total mental breakdown. It was disturbing the rest of the session.
Wow.
It was extremely difficult. His grandma actually, is very aware of those situations and everything like that. And it was a tough breakdown, just yelling, screaming, not wanting to be there. And I'm like, I don't know if he can even be in the program just because of he's taken away from the other kids. Mm-hmm. And so. But one of our mentor coaches, she's got some great wisdom, and the mentor that's matched with that child is a foster dad. So he gets it. And he was just extremely patient. He worked together with the mentor coach. Each mentor has a mentor coach assigned to them that's full time and is there whenever they need support, guidance, all those things. And then he stuck around. The mentor stuck with this child. And we actually have a letter written by grandma saying how much this child has changed simply because this mentor is in his life. Now, he's not perfect. None of us are.
Yeah, sure.
But imagine him without having that mentor, he would be today versus where he is now. And so that's the biggest thing.
Only a minute left. How do they get in touch with you?
Go to mentoringalliance.com. Click the Mentor Connect tab. There's a button that says apply to become a mentor. Uh-huh. You can always call the office. We have a building on Broadway. You can always stop by if you have any questions, but we'd love to have you.
And if you think you have a child or know of a child that could use your help.
Yeah, as long as you're
same thing.
Yeah, well, as long as you're at one of our participating schools, your child is eligible for the program. Like I said, we just started, so we're trying to spread into as many schools as we can in the next coming years.
Okay. Nick Zavala, Mentoring Alliance. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
And we will see you guys next week. Thanks for being with us.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.